Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Federal government promulgates rules for a number of these loans and aid loans, the Paycheck Protection Program being one, which is part of the $2 trillion stimulus package that was passed by Congress last week. Hopefully they were going to begin on Friday. A number of the Louisiana banks urge patience because the delay in getting the guidelines. And here to talk to us about that is Guy Williams, President, Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. Guy, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you very much. Good to talk to you.
Guy, much anticipation about the PPP and a number of the other programs. The guidelines released late Thursday evening in the hopes of trying to get things started on Friday. That was probably a little bit of an aggressive scheduling timeline relative to that, but hopefully things will be better this week.
It was, and it gave us a chance to work through the weekend, and the result of having the guidelines in place is that we were able to accept, process, and approve loans through the weekend. The portal is up and running. The next step, SBA has still not released the closing documents. There's always one more step when the government's involved, but the closing documents are what allow us to actually fund the loans. So we're accepting applications, approving applications, getting SBA numbers, and we hope as soon as tomorrow, perhaps, to have the closing documents to start funding loans.
So, Guy, I read articles over the weekend about, 23, 33, 43,000 SBA loans processed. I think a lot of folks' expectation was is that they've reached some sense of conclusion on that. So what you're saying here is that that's not necessarily the case.
Well, it's not complete. And obviously, as a borrower, the fact that your loan is processed and even approved is a wonderful thing. But until you get the money, you really haven't closed the loop. So the loans are being approved. The loans are getting SBA numbers. And they're in the queue to get funded. But we haven't been able to fund them just yet. But that should be very quick. And, this is a brand new program. It's starting up. We wish that we'd had a little more time to get ready, but no one knew this was coming. So we anticipate funding, as I say, hopefully as soon as tomorrow.
There was a lot of confusion as to protection for the banks. You described last week that you draw upon your liquidity as a bank, your resources, and then in the hopes of getting the money back and the funding from the federal government. A number of banks have decided they're not going to use the SBA application. They're going to use their own. Can you explain what that's about to the listening audience?
Well, that's if you use your own application, you potentially have a problem getting the loan forgiven. We've always been a big SBA lender, and depending on the year, some years we've been the biggest SBA lender in the state. But what our focus is not just getting the loan approved, but getting it approved in such a way that it will be forgiven at the end, because that's really what people want. They want money today, and that's important. We want to deliver the money as quickly as possible. But what they really want is money today and then that money to be forgiven by the government. Well, if you follow the SBA rules exactly, use their forms, their closing documents, then you're reasonably certain that you'll get the loan forgiven, and that's the most important thing. One thing that Treasury did this time, they were so nervous about not having a bank bailout that they made this really a bit of a break-even or a loss leader for banks. Very low interest rate, 1%. So banks are nervous about getting stuck with 1% loans for 2 years, which is below their cost of funding and their cost of operation. So some banks are skeptical and a little slow to approve the loans. On the other hand, the banks that are familiar with SBA are approving them and are confident that in 8 weeks they'll be able to get the loans forgiven. And that's the plan that we're following.
So that lends a little confusion in the market, right? So if a small business owner goes to their bank that they're used to banking with and they're presented with a package of forms that are not the SBA forms, because I actually went Friday and looked at a number of websites Thursday night, and almost every major bank that I went to said, don't send us an SBA form, which, you know, kind of begged the question that a lot of them were creating their own forms. So how do you meander through that? I mean, you know, if you're saying on the one hand the best position to be in is the position of using the SBA forms, and they're saying we're not taking SBA forms.
Well, and let me clarify, because I might not have been clear. Part of the confusion is the SBA last week put out sample documents and sample forms, but they kept amending those forms, and those end up being the final form. So if you go to our website, if you go to any other bank's website, when you go to the online application portal, they'll give you the current SBA form. Okay. So if somebody that was really eager and last Tuesday filled out the form online, that's not it anymore. Treasury changed it.
Okay. All right. Well, that makes more sense then. Thank you for straightening that out. Anything else that we should be concerned with or aware of in the PPP program, the Paycheck Protection Program, that we can talk about this morning?
I think the most important thing, and we've been telling our customers this, is there are three SBA programs, and you really need to look at which one makes the most sense for you. The disaster program is a very low interest rate. It gives you a $10,000 check within the first 2 weeks for applying. And that loan could be the right loan for some people that need to buy equipment, they need to do some restocking. And it's often wise to apply for the disaster loan first and then use the PPP just for payroll. That's what we're recommending, because that's the cleanest way to get it totally forgiven. Just use it for 2.5 months payroll, keep your records, we'll work with you, and then boom, at the end of that two and a half months, it'll be forgiven and you move on. But one thing that people forget about, and this is important too, is the traditional 7A has gotten much better because of the crisis. The size is now $10 million, and there are no fees to apply. There are no guarantee fees. This loan can be used, and it can have significantly longer maturity. And one of the things that it can be used for is expansion, but it can also be used to buy competitors. So we've seen people applying and realizing, you know, this crisis is not going to last forever. If the health data is right, and we've talked about that, I'll talk about it again in a minute. The health data website says in Louisiana, our peak is this week. So we are right there. It should be over by Good Friday. Not over, but the peak is over, and we'll be on the downside. So if you're thinking of expanding your business, somebody else may be nervous and ready to sell at a discount price. Regular 7A loans are available, and we're funding those.
And those come through the SBA as well, right?
Well, the regular 7As are made by banks, guaranteed by SBA. The only one that is direct from the SBA is the disaster loan, and that's up to $2 million. You apply on the SBA website. And we do recommend that most businesses start there, do a disaster loan for whatever amount makes sense, and then do a payroll protection loan for their 2.5 months payroll.
And I think a lot of people don't realize that the PPP is strictly for your personnel and just a couple of other items that you can use it for, which would be utilities, interest, I guess rent payments. Is that correct?
Right. Those are acceptable uses, but there's a proviso. If you don't retain your workforce, there's a formula that will reduce your forgiveness. And that's why, even though it's acceptable and legal to use the PPP for those purposes, we're recommending just use it for payroll. Make it simple, make it clean, get that forgiven, and use a disaster loan for the other things.
Absolutely. We're going to go to a break. We'll come back to the talk lines, 260-1870 or text 870-870. We're talking to Guy Williams, president of Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We're back with Guy Williams, president of Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. Guy, I'm just going to go through this list here, and you tell me if I'm wrong. The PPP, the loan proceeds, can be used for your payroll costs, including benefits, interest on mortgage obligations, but it must be a mortgage that was incurred before February 15th, 2020. That seems to be the seminal date that the SBA has adopted. Is that correct?
It is.
Rent under lease agreements in force before February the 15th, and utilities for services that began before February 15th, 2020 as well.
All correct.
All right.
And
go ahead.
The big thing we warn people about is there's a difference between legal and forgivable. You can use your money for any of those purposes, and if you keep all of your people on the payroll, it'll still be forgiven. But there is a payroll test that's going to be applied if you use it for non-payroll purposes. So if by chance you do that and you don't keep everybody on the payroll, there could be a reduction in the forgivable portion. That's why we caution people it's better if you just use it for payroll. But all of those uses are legal. If you keep everybody on the payroll, you'll still get forgiven.
So I'm anticipating questions about what is payroll. So salary, wages, commissions, tips, capped at $100,000 on an annualized basis, right?
And health insurance.
And then what is a benefit? And benefits include vacation time, parental, family, or medical or sick leave, allowance for separation or dismissal, payments required for provisions of group health care benefits, including insurance premiums, and payment of any retirement benefit. Is that correct?
Yes.
And then state and local taxes assessed on compensation also are payroll costs as a business owner that you're paying, right?
Right.
There are a lot of questions. Go ahead.
All of that goes into the payroll calculation. It's a lot easier if you have a payroll service because they'll be able to spit these numbers out for you. But if not, you can look at the act and see the listed items that are included in payroll.
Yeah. A lot of question about independent contractors and sole proprietors. So it's basically what you're reporting, right? And I guess in your time, as it relates to wages, commissions, income, or net earnings from self-employment, same thing, same cap, $100,000 on an annualized basis for each employee.
Right. It's the amount you're paying yourself. And
right.
The danger that's going to capture some people is some folks live out of the company and don't actually pay themselves, and that's going to reduce your potential payroll protection loan.
Right. So if you're not set up where you're actually just you're compensating yourself as an employee of whatever that entity is, whether you're a sole proprietor or not, is going to be a difference maker in how this thing is going to be viewed by the SBA.
Right. If for example, you've been paying a lot of your personal expenses out of the company, none of that is going to count for this purpose.
Right. Now, this program will last right now, as I read through the Federal Register, June 30th of 2020. But
that's correct.
It may be elongated or continued on, but as of right now, June 30, 2020, and so you're recommending that people get in and file these applications as soon as possible.
I am, and it's hard to see the end right now, but as I say, if the University of Washington health data is correct, our peak in Louisiana is this week. So next week, the week after, we're going to be looking back and saying, things are pretty good. And maybe by, May 1st, you know, the governor says, look, we're good to go, or he starts rolling out a reopening or May 15th. So I don't think this is going to last all the way through the summer. So it makes sense to go ahead and take advantage of it. There is right now a cap on the amount of funds that Congress has appropriated. But everyone that we've talked to in D.C., and we haven't talked to the president personally, but we talked to both of our senators, DeSeve Scalise, Cedric Richmond, they all say, look, we will appropriate more money if banks reach this cap. So
we think that's true. The loan is due in 2 years. So if you go through all this calculation and some of it is not forgivable and there's an outstanding balance, it's due in 2 years from closing, right?
Right, from whatever day the closing date is, and on that final date, it's pay in full.
No prepayment penalties or fees at all on any of these loans?
No. Nope.
Also, no collateral. No collateral required, nor is there a personal guarantee requirement.
That's correct. And that's why we recommend the payroll protection loan, because if you take it and it turns out you didn't need it, you can pay it back very low interest rate. You can pay it back with no prepayment penalty. Now, there is also a proviso. There's no guarantee, but the federal government reserves the right to prosecute you if you made any false statements. So to me, that's a lot worse than a guarantee, because the feds can come after you. If you lied on the application, you can go to jail. So
that's not out of the ordinary. That, I mean, really almost every bank filing that you have, you're subjected to that possibility, right?
Oh, you are, because banks are federally insured. But I think with a program like this, they've already talked about a commission to examine how the money is used. I would not want to be on the wrong side of the law if you're stating something.
Yeah.
I agree. I think this time more than ever.
No, absolutely. Let's go to Ed on line one. Ed, welcome to the show.
Good morning, gentlemen. Mr. Williams, I'm going to throw you a curveball.
Okay.
We have a 100% nonprofit, all volunteer, no payroll shelter that we work with homeless veterans. We recently bought the property last November. We now have a mortgage, we have utilities, we have food, we help the veterans with clothing items, hygiene items. Every penny we raise is through donations and fundraisers, and every penny goes back into the organization. Therefore, I have no payroll, so the PPP loan would not really benefit me, nor would creating a loan to pay mortgage and utilities, which now I'm going to have two payments or two loans I'm going to be responsible for, not knowing how long it's going to take us to be able to do fundraisers and get people back to making any kind of donation. Is there anything out there that can help people? And I'm not the only one. I've talked to some other organizations similar to mine. We don't know what to do.
Well, first, God bless you and thank you for what you're doing. These programs are designed for payroll. So you're right. You're not eligible for a payroll protection loan. You are eligible for an economic disaster loan. You will get the $10,000 that you don't have to repay. The rate is only 2.75. So there's a lot to be said for that. There aren't payments due for 6 months. If you have a reasonable feel for what your expenses are and when revenue will start coming in, you may want to consider that. But it is a repayable loan, and the rate, as I say, because you're a nonprofit, is 2.75. You will get $10,000. You don't have to repay, so there's some benefit there. But this program is really not designed for an institution that does what you guys do, although what you're doing is wonderful work, and I applaud you for it.
Meaning the PPP.
Correct.
Right. But the disaster...
We had talked to the bank about a possible forbearance, But since we just bought the property in November, we're upside down with interest over principal. So a forbearance may not even be beneficial to us. So I'm just trying to find something out there that can help us keep the doors open.
Well, your disaster loan could be used to pay interest and principal, but I would be surprised if your bank wouldn't defer 3 to 6 months of payments and just put it at the end. I'm in touch with most of the local bankers. I'm not aware of any of them that aren't granting that sort of forbearance.
Okay. Can I be honest with you? We're with your bank.
Well, then you're in good shape. We're going to give you 3 months.
I'm hoping. We're talking to Joe over here at the North Shore, and he's looking, but right now, like you're saying, there's no finalization yet.
Let me put your mind at ease. We're going to give you the forbearance.
Well, appreciate that. Thank you.
That's a promise from me to you. Don't worry about a thing. We're going to defer your next three payments.
Well, that would help
us. The question is crafting an SBA loan that makes sense. Guy, so you can make principal and interest payments with the disaster loan, and if it's at a favorable rate of 2.75, I don't know many business loans recently of interest rates that low.
Well, and it may make sense to refinance your loan using the disaster loan. You know, once again, this is approved by the SBA up to $2 million. Conceivably, you could get a big enough loan that you refinance and you're in better shape.
Yeah, Ed, so if you look at your present interest rate, you may have an opportunity to reduce it under this. And this is, you know, I can't help but wonder sometimes, because I think this has happened in the past. You correct me if I'm wrong, Guy. There's actually been forgiveness of some of these types of loans in some of these events that we've had. Is that not true?
They've forgiven loans for mostly municipalities, on very rare occasions, nonprofits, and seldom for individuals. So you're right, but unless you're a municipality, I wouldn't count on forgiveness of the disaster loan.
Because I know that there were some, and this is a term we don't want to get into a long conversation about, affiliation rules that have been modified for the purposes of churches and other not-for-profits, so that they can borrow more money on an entity-by-entity basis, right?
They have, and we might as well be up front. One of the biggest reasons is if you think about the parochial schools.
Yeah.
They're eligible to apply. If the affiliation rule counted, then you would say, well, none of them are eligible, because when you aggregate up, there are a lot of employees. But Congress specifically dealt with that. Treasury dealt with it in the rules, and our parochial schools are eligible to apply, and the affiliation rule does not apply for them.
And under the PPP, if you have no going in, if you have no payroll expense at all, like Ed, there's no way to take advantage of that program, more specifically the 1% loan, and just forego it being forgiven and just say, I want to lock in for the max amount that I can at 1%.
No, because it's a mathematical formula.
Okay.
And it's driven by 2.5 times your payroll. So
right.
If that's zero times zero is zero.
Right, right. All right, let's go to Mark on line two. Mark?
Hi, I was just checking to see what would be best for an independent contractor to apply either for the PPP or unemployment benefits.
Boy, Mark, you've raised a tough question, and there's not a simple answer. A lot of our restaurant people are finding that out, because they're telling their employees, guys, good news, we're going to do the PPP, and their employees are saying, please don't. I'm making more money on unemployment than I would get if you brought me back on the payroll. So you have to look at that. Congress added $600 just on top of whatever the state unemployment is. So in some cases, it may be better to run with the unemployment number and forego the PPP, or hope that the PPP is still available later on, or it gets extended, so you can use the unemployment and then take a PPP. But it's an interesting calculation, and particularly for restaurants, that you know you could take the loan, but unless you're doing takeout, there's not much need for all the employees right now. It presents a difficult challenge.
Yeah, especially in light of the maximum benefit in under the Louisiana unemployment is $247 for 26 weeks. And so you put a $600 on top of that, you're at $847. So, you know, over a month, you're over $3,200.
Right. And so it's one or the other, right? You wouldn't qualify or apply for both. It would be one or the other, unemployment or the PPP.
You can apply for both, but here's the challenge. If you don't use the PPP to pay employees, then it doesn't get forgiven.
So, Guy, explain that, because you don't actually to have your employees hired before your loan closing, but from the time of your loan closing forward for the period of time, they must be on the payroll.
Right. You've got to bring them back on the payroll, which means they can't. And the government doesn't want people double dipping and getting both unemployment and PPP. So you have to pick one or the other. Once you get the PPP, you've got to bring the folks back on the payroll, or it will not be forgiven.
Except for if you're an independent contractor without employees, I think you still will qualify for the PPP because a lot of independent contractors don't have employees. PPP.
You will, but you can't. But as an independent contractor, you can't get the PPP and also do unemployment. But yes.
Yeah.
As an independent contractor, you can apply for the PPP.
Okay. That was the main thing I wanted to know. Yeah, that would be the way to go, I think.
Yep. All right, Mark, hopefully we helped you out there. Let's go to Jason on line three. Jason?
Hey, how y'all doing today?
Good.
Thank y'all for the vital information. I have a quick question. So self-employment, like I am, no employees, is kind of similar to the other call. Of course, I'm not nonprofit, but my question is, if people that aren't, you don't hear this talked about at all, but people that aren't credit worthy, that have poor credit or average credit, are they still going to maybe make the $10,000 non-repayable available to people that fall in that category?
SBA is handling the disaster loan applications themselves, and they've been pretty generous, but we really can't speak to what they're going to do. On the payroll protection, there is no credit bureau and no credit score required. So if you're eligible for PPP, there's not going to be a credit score involved.
Got you. Well, yeah, I don't only have one employee, and I don't think it's going to really be beneficial to do the 250%. It may be. I need to look at it. But I did apply through the SBA site, and they advised me to check the $10,000 advance part of it. I just didn't know if there was any information, if they were going to be a little more lenient on that, being that it was considered a grant-type program for the first $10,000 anyway, based on that kind of information. So that's something I just have to wait and get a response from the SBA.
Yeah, our expectation is that they will send you the $10,000 check. They may not approve the loan, but in a way that's not horrible. You get $10,000, you don't have to repay.
No, that
and once again, there's
great.
No downside to applying. So it either happens or it doesn't, and that's totally in the SBA's judgment call.
Is there a time frame? Or because I applied about 4 days ago, 5 days ago. Is there a general time frame that they're allotting?
They've been responding to that within a week or 2 weeks, so you should hear pretty soon.
Okay. I appreciate y'all so much. Thank you for all y'all do.
Oh,
you're welcome.
Guy, final thoughts?
No, just these are unusual times for America. I think the biggest thing we tell people is it's not going to last forever. So don't make a bad permanent decision based on a temporary thing. And start thinking through how you want to come out of this. You know, it's a good time to realize, okay, no need to just binge food on junk food. Spend a little time being healthy, being thoughtful and kind to your neighbors. And then just get ready for the recovery, because it is going to come.
Absolutely. And the SBA.gov website has a lot of great information, and so does your website at Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. We thank you for same and appreciate your time this morning.
Oh, you're very welcome.
All righty. That's Guy Williams, president of Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. We'll be right back. Actually, we're going to talk to Zach Strief about that 2006 rebirth game. He was there. We'll be right back. Stay with us. This is Newell on WWL.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.